Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Welcome to Dudes on Hockey. First of all, I want to start this podcast by saying congratulations to the San Jose Earthquakes for making the playoffs.
That is not why we're having celebratory beers right now.
No, that's
that
true.
Is not why.
No.
Dude. The drought, the postseason drought and torture in my life is over.
Yes.
Partial torture. Now, you know that my number one passion is the Sharks, but my 1A is the San Francisco Giants, and I've been a big fan my whole young adult life.
Your whole life.
And tonight was really special. Seeing them win the World Series with my family. We've all been Giants fans forever. And this is a big night, dude.
Yeah,
it's
big deal.
Great feeling. And it's one that I hope that we get to share together and with our listeners and with all the fans at the Shark Tank when we win the Stanley Cup, because it was exhilarating, to say the least.
I mean, I'm not a Giants fan. You know, I was an A's fan back when I cared about baseball. I'm not a Giants fan now, but you know what? I couldn't be more happy for you, for our listeners. I know there's some listeners that are big-time Giants fans. I'm happy for you guys. I'm happy for San Francisco. They deserve a title, and truly a come-from-behind kind of story. Crazy. You know, I didn't watch a single regular season game. I was glued to the TV for the last three World Series games. I couldn't not watch them. It was great, great stuff. I'm not a baseball guy, not through and through the way I am with hockey, and you know, it's a big deal. I'm super stoked for all the Giants fans out there. It's awesome.
This is a team that you could really get behind because, as they said repeatedly over and over again, till your ears bled on Fox, that they were cast-offs and misfits.
Right.
And I was getting really tired of that cliche that they came up with probably in the pregame. How are we gonna call them cast-offs and misfits,
right?
And fear the beard.
Just write that down on a card and repeat
Tim
it.
Tim McCarver repeated over and over again.
Yeah,
but it goes a lot to say for team chemistry, and you know, this team, the best pitching staff, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But the hitters are quite a compilation of random guys, who are at different places in their careers. So as I turn over to hockey here, when you look at the success of the San Francisco Giants and really how they did it as a team with one guy being the hero one night and one guy being the hero the next, do you think, how far do you think chemistry goes in terms of winning a Stanley Cup? Is it as important? Can you rely on stars to take you the rest of the way or the majority of the way? Or does a real team concept like what the Giants have outweigh a star-driven team?
Wow, that's always a tough call, and you'll get plenty of different arguments if you talk to hockey fans about chemistry. Traditionally, I'm not a huge chemistry guy. To me, it comes down to performance. You get guys that perform well at the right time, and that's what matters. And, you know, I'm going to put my money on the team with the best players every time. That's just how it works. You look at the last few years, you know, there aren't too many chemistry teams. I think you'd probably have to go back to the Carolina Hurricanes when they won. But keep in mind, they were the number two seed that year. So it's not as if they came out of nowhere. So, yeah, I'm not a big chemistry guy, but there has to be an element of that. Because as we hear the announcers say, and we hear ex-players say all the time, you know, the real reason why these guys go that extra step is for the other guys in the room. They don't do it for the fans. They don't do it for the coaches. They don't care about that stuff. And, you know, playing on hockey teams myself, you get a tiny, tiny smidgen of a taste of that when you're playing in a playoff game, even if it's a rec league. You know, you want the guy that you play with all season. You want that guy to do well. You want that guy to be happy when you win. So I hope the Sharks have that. I'd much rather have them have great players, because I think that it's self-perpetuating. You start winning and then the chemistry gets better, and then you win more and then the chemistry gets better. And I can say that, I don't know if that happened with the Giants, but it could have. You know, they just start believing, hey, you know, we can do this deal.
And they did.
And they did.
And they did.
Yes. And so did the Sharks. Two wins in the last week.
The Sharks have played well this week.
Yes.
They have also played two of the worst teams in the NHL this week.
So?
I don't want to put a damper on it, dude. I guess I just did.
Thanks, but, dude.
Are they statistically the two worst? I'm going to look. I'm looking right now. It's coming up, dude. New Jersey is the worst team in the East, and Anaheim is the second worst in the West.
Yeah.
So to thump both of those teams 5-2, identical scores,
mm-hmm.
Was a good result, mm-hmm. and the result that you should have. And, you know, I didn't watch the New Jersey game in person.
Mm-hmm.
You were at New Jersey game, and yep. actually I was at the Anaheim game, and so we had a split
yeah.
this week in terms yeah. of being there in person. Dude, what were your takes on the New Jersey game? Let's start with that. First of all, what's going on with the Devils? I mean, are they really in bad shape, or what do you see from this team when you watch them? Because they seemed...
They are bad, even strength. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were lamenting about the Sharks, how they can always score on the power play. And I know I wrote on the blog this week that the Devils are bad 5-on-3. They did not look good. They had no answer for the top line. They didn't look good at all, really, at any facet of the game. The Sharks were 1-for-3 on the power play, which is, you know, still a very good percentage. If you're over 30%, you're awesome. And I think the Sharks are still over 30% for the year on the power play, which is amazing. So yeah, it's just you look at the D of the Devils right now. You have Matt Correnti, who had an assist. He got 14 minutes. Andy Green had 22 minutes. A guy Magnin, I think it's a Finnish name. He had almost 20 minutes. Henrik Tallinder, Matt Taramina, and Colin White. That's not exactly a Philadelphia Flyers defensive lineup here.
No, well, they have Anton Volchenkov, and he's only played two games because he broke his nose.
Right.
So, again, you're throwing a ton of cash, and what they give him, nearly $5 million, mm-hmm. is somewhere in that range. You're throwing it to a guy who has back problems. He's got a nose problem, yeah. you know?
Well, you just come back from the broken nose. I mean...
sure.
But still, we certainly didn't. I mean, we certainly saw a sort of I wouldn't say decimated because they were only missing one defenseman, but they were certainly missing their best one. And they sure looked it. And Martin Brodeur did not look like the unbeatable force that he has been through most of his career. He looked very beatable. He looked out of position. He looked late at some points. He looked like he was panicking at other points. He did not look good. And I had a conversation with a Devils fan. I wasn't trying to rip into him because, you know, back in the day, I was certainly fond of the Devils when Scott Stevens was on that team.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, what's going on? Are these guys going down? And he said, you know, it's Brodeur. He's tailing off. He's finally getting old. And I guess it's possible, although you see guys like Dominik Hasek play very good hockey almost until they're 40. So I wouldn't write him off quite yet. But if they look like that all year, it's going to be a long year for Devils fans.
Hold on. What am I grabbing?
You're grabbing a pencil.
Ah, what am I doing?
You're writing.
I'm writing them off. Let me tell you why. Zach Parise, today, knee surgery.
Oh, wow.
Out for undisclosed amount of time. And Jacob Josephson,
yeah,
a rookie center, out 8 weeks with a detached ligament in his right hand.
Dude.
This team is in trouble. Dude, what is the over-under on McClain being canned as the rookie head coach of the Devils?
What is it, November 1st? 2 months.
2 months. So yeah. You think by...
By New Year's.
By New Year's?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's possible. They made a lot of moves in the offseason. They were trying to push the chips in, and it looks like Lou Lamoriello may have really made some big mistakes here. Mm-hmm. How fast before Kovalchuk wishes that deal was voided?
He's already there. He was minus one no shots against the...
And he got benched. I mean, he got benched last week. So. Right.
Played 20 minutes against the Sharks, but minus one, no shots. That's not exactly the kind of output you're looking for Ilya Kovalchuk.
Well, focusing on the positive in terms of the Sharks, that game, they put back together the hamburger line of Marlowe and Heatley and Thornton, and they responded with some pretty good numbers.
Yeah,
and I'll Thornton say. Has been playing out of his mind the last few games. He's had his 8 points in his last two games.
Yeah, out of 10 goals, he had points on 8 of them. All the goals in the Devils game and 3 of the 5 against the Ducks. So certainly Joe Thornton, I think, was second star of the week in the NHL. You know, like those particular accolades don't really mean anything, but yeah, Jumbo certainly came up huge in the last couple games.
So we go from mocking him last week to being one of the worst plus minus guys, and now all of a sudden he's only a minus three and he's third in the NHL in scoring.
Yeah.
So. I guess Feast Jumbo can turn around and give us
the finger,
a nice Jeff finger there.
Yeah.
What do you say?
I think so.
So good for the Sharks and scoring even strength now. You know, all three first period goals against the Devils were even strength, dude. They got even strength goals against the Ducks. Is there anything else you want to say about the New Jersey game, which really should have been 5-1. I mean, they give up a power play goal near the end of the game to Andy Green. Thankfully, he is on our fantasy team, so we took it.
Right.
Anything else from that game?
No, one of those goals was so wacky. It was one of the wackier goals you'll ever see. It was sort of like a high dump in, came right off the stanchion, directly in front of the net, right to David Clarkson, who packed it into the empty net because Ninamaki had abandoned it to go behind the net and field the puck. You see that once every three or four seasons, maybe, and we saw it against the Devils. And frankly, I don't care because they whipped the Devils anyway, and it didn't matter. You don't want to see that against Detroit in a tough game in March or in the playoffs. If that means the Sharks don't have bad luck for a while, then I'll take it.
A bit of a fluky goal there.
Super fluky.
Look at the 5-2 win over the Ducks, which was especially entertaining, one, because it was the Ducks being really terrible.
They looked not good.
They were super terrible. And two, it was because the Ducks were really terrible. Those are the two highlights of that win. Dude,
Their top line is still dangerous. I mean, if you're a Ducks fan, like I've said this before, I'd feel bad. I'd feel really crummy if I was a Ducks fan because they have a great first line. Ryan Getzlaf, maybe he didn't have a ton of points. Corey Perry looked good. I mean, that line is tough.
Yeah, and but that's it.
That's,
I mean,
all
that's
they
all
have.
They got going for you. And I'll tell you what, the Ducks scored twice in the third period, and they did it on the power play. If you don't put the Ducks on the power play, they're not going to score.
Yeah,
they're not going to score, or they're going to have a real hard time scoring because they, you know, their second line is feeble and pathetic. And the other thing that I loved about this game that I'm sure the Sharks really enjoyed is you take a look here and you go, Ryan Getzlaf was a minus three and Corey Perry was a minus three. Mm-hmm. You know, and that line ate the Sharks alive in the playoffs a couple years ago. And this time, finally, you know, the Sharks are getting the upper hand on them and scoring even strength on those boys. Good job to the Sharks in that game. A lot of good things going on, and probably one of the most standout players, the third star in that game, is our good friend, Hamburgers.
Nice, yeah. He looked good. He looked good. I know we got an email last week about Hamburgers asking me to change our tune. Definitely haven't changed the tune. He looks good, man. You know, can I say he's worth the money he got? I still can't say that. But you know what? Every time I see him play, he makes good plays. I mean, he's the better player than Vlasic right now. He's the strength on that defensive pair. And I never would have thought that would have happened if you asked me that in the summertime. Oh, who's going to be the better player between Vlasic and Vallin? It's Vallin right now. He's more physical. He's a bigger guy. He's skating the puck. He actually seems to have some more offensive instincts. And Vlasic is just, he's not looking so hot, man.
He had a hard time in the third period clearing pucks. And it really is starting to irritate me. he can't seem to clear the puck. And it's getting old. This act is growing tired.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know there's not.
It's like, hey, Jeff Dunham, trying to get a new puppet.
I love that you compared Vlasic to Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
Because right now I don't like either of them.
Yeah.
I don't like either of them.
You know what? If we weren't the best face-off team in the NHL or one of them, then I might be able to agree with some of these, which is, you know, make the nuanced play off the boards and try to get it to a breakout player. But you know what? Take the icing. Take the icing.
Clear the puck.
Yeah.
I mean, you're putting yourself into a real dangerous situation. And you're fortunate that, you know, right now they've got a hot netminder in Taro Ninamaki, dude.
Yeah.
This road trip, I think, is going to tell a tale. We're going to see how this team is going to fare in terms of is this recent upswing a product of them playing two bad teams?
Right.
Or how are they going to do when they face St. Louis, which is right now can't get much hotter than St. Louis. I mean, they've only lost one game.
That whole Central Division is tough. They all have more points than we do, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that they do.
Central's hot.
Minnesota kind of got their act together, and now they've fallen back a little bit, although they beat Washington at home.
Yeah,
you got to give them credit for that. And they lost at home to L.A., and they gave Chicago a fight. You know, it was a 3-1 game, so they're not going to be a pushover. But the St. Louis game is the one I'm really looking forward to because mm-hmm. that team, talk about chemistry, we talk about the Giants. They've kept the core of that young team together, and now they've added a premier goalie in Halak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's paying early dividends, dude.
It certainly is. So yeah, the Sharks definitely have some questions that will be answered here coming up. Of course, maybe we get to beat up on Anaheim again on the 9th. That'll be nice. Yes. And we have the Islanders coming up, so...
Oh, Tampa Bay, a big showdown with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to
Saturday.
See that new team. It's going to be interesting to see them in the house. So, what we'll have to get to right now, of course, is your questions. Questions at dudesonhockey.com, of course, is the email address. You can email us with whatever.
My phone is blowing up tonight, dude.
Oh, I bet.
I've been getting text messages. I'm like, stop texting me. I'm, you know, recording a live internet podcast.
That's right.
Pre-recorded.
Of course.
No one seems to understand.
No.
Everyone wants to talk about the Giants, but no. We're here to talk about the Sharks. This is commitment. The Giants have just won the World Series, yeah. And I'm sitting here talking about the Sharks.
Well, do we have beers?
We do have beers. Okay. Congratulations, dude.
So, Danny, his first question says, obviously the defense of the team currently in place is most in need of a new acquisition. Don't you agree that given DW's history and the available trade bait from our forwards, it's realistic that a trade will occur before the deadline? It seems premature and impatient of some fans and media to believe that the team in place is the final team that will be competing in the playoffs. Personally, I think it'll be Seto, a young forward, and a pick for a top blue man. But this guess is a total fabrication on my part. Your thoughts?
Well, dude, first of all, the title of his email is, you don't have to play the crazy trade clip for this one.
I don't?
No.
Wait a minute. You can't tell me what to play. I'm going to play crazy trade. Where is it?
I'm going off the rails on a crazy trade.
You're not the boss of me, Danny. Yes, Danny, I think you're essentially right. Doug Wilson's certainly shown a major propensity to make a trade at the deadline. I think it's certainly likely this year that could happen. Seto, a young forward and a pick for a top blue liner? Sure, it's as good of a guess as any. Total fabrication on my part? Now you're speaking my language, because that's what we're all about. Total
we love rampant speculation.
Yes. Absolutely, I think that's going to happen. Of course, you know, you want to, if you're going to have a guy... You would hope to have him a good part of the year and you know reap the benefits of a great player for most of the year. But Doug Wilson's style seems to be go out and get a guy late, see who's available, see which teams sort of fall back. Because right now, it's early in the year. No one's completely out of it yet, except for maybe the Devils now. They've lost two players to injury. But the fact is that most teams aren't going to be super eager to get rid of great players at this time of the year. So... you're not going to be, except for, you know, Boston in 2005. So I can't see us going out and getting a great player right now. It's just, I don't think it's likely because there's not any teams that are ready to throw in the towel and get rid of a guy that you and I have targeted as one of these guys that we could really want. I mean, Ottawa's not going to get rid of Chris Phillips now.
No, it'd have to be one of those rare things where it was like a Chris Phillips for a Joe Pavelski or something, and that's
right.
Not going to happen.
Right.
The thing that I worry about with Setoguchi is... I worry that his value is just getting
worse,
lower and lower. Uh-huh. I mean, in the first 9 games, he has 2 points. He's a -5. He's certainly shooting the puck. I mean, he's firing shots. But I fear that he just isn't getting the opportunities that he needs to succeed. And, dude, you know, if you're Doug Wilson, how long do you hold on to that chip? I mean, I'm not saying let's give up on Seto because he could easily turn it around. But ever since he stopped playing with Joe,
Yeah.
The set of fun has left the building.
Yeah, yeah. It's not quite the same player anymore. And when you're talking 9 games with 2 points, then you start thinking, is this really a guy who's a top forward? I mean, hopefully top forwards can produce under most situations, and 2 points in 9 games isn't good for anybody. That's not a good production, no matter what your game is. Of course, everybody goes through slumps now and again, but it doesn't exactly invoke confidence when you're talking about a guy who's really sort of, he's sort of in the middle of that seesaw. Where is my career going to go? Am I going to become the top six guy that's going to make good money, get some good minutes, power play time? He's getting power play time in the second unit. Or is he going to be that guy that needs to prove himself all the time and constantly justify him being in the lineup and getting big time minutes?
Yeah, this is an alarming stat. We can see Seto's got 2 points, both of them on the power play. So no even strength points in 9 games. Mm. That's not acceptable. And that's not going to hold down a top six forward spot on this team for
or
much
on
longer.
Or on many teams.
And, you know, Seto could be in danger of starting to lose some time to, you know, guys like Jamal Mears. I mean,
even guys like Mitchell.
Ben Ferriero could start getting a call up to play. If he's not going to produce, you might start to see some other guys get some looks in that lineup too.
All right, dude, let's go to another email here. Let's see. Tom from Moundview says, tell me what you think of the idea of Keith Yandle in Teal. Rumor is he's being shopped around by Phoenix. Last year, he scored 12 goals, 41 points. He's only 24, but is set to be an RFA next year and is currently being paid $1.2 million this season. That's a great cap hit for a player like that. First, getting over the hurdle of Phoenix trading him within the division, do you think that's a player DW should target? It's been discussed, and it's not a popular idea among other Sharks blogs, but I think a puck mover on the blue line is more what we need rather than a shutdown guy. He'll definitely command a larger salary next year, but a young puck-moving D-man is exactly what I think we need now and in the future. What do you think we'd have to give in return? I'm thinking a player and a high pick. Okay, I can't play it again. I'm intrigued by the idea of Keith Yandle. Dude, do you have an opinion on Keith Yandle?
Well, I think as I'm kind of looking at his stats, you know, Yandle does not play the kill. He's played 6 minutes of kill time in 10 games. That's, you know, he's a little less than 40 seconds a game on the kill.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to help you there. So then you're taking away that element you've got. Now, you can't play Yandle and Mears, I don't think.
Right.
You know, because then you've got two guys out there that you don't trust on the kill.
Mm-hmm.
And you're putting a lot of pressure there on Vallin and Murray, and I'm just hesitant that he's maybe too one-dimensional.
Right, I see.
And that we might already have that guy currently in Demers, and he's a lot cheaper. And I think the asking price for Yandle might be a little bit more than what we'd be willing to pay.
Right.
Now, the second part of that question is that I don't think there's any chance that they would trade him within the division unless they got an equal value. I mean, they might do it Seto for Yandle. I mean, they might do that. Would you do that trade today, dude?
Would I do that trade today? That's a tough call. Man, that's a good one, dude. I need to take a stand on this one, and I don't want to. I think I would make that trade today. I think I would. That's a tough call, but I think I would do it. I'm with Tom. I like Yandle. He's a puck mover. You're right, but he's young. Like Demers, I'm sure he has some growing to do on the defensive side of the puck. One season of 40-plus points doesn't count as much. He had 30 the season before, and that's really all he's been in the NHL. So you can't exactly just chalk him up for 35 to 40 points a year, which is a really good defensive output.
I guess I don't understand why Phoenix is looking to move him.
Yeah, that would be an interesting question to have an answer for, because you look at their D, and you know Jovo's going to be up for a renewal next year, so he's either taking a major pay cut or he's going to be history. They have Morris, Adrian Acoin, Kurt Sauer, Ekman Larson, who's a great young player, and that's kind of it. So if they don't have Keith Yandle, then they're only looking at 3 or 4 defensemen here. So it makes you wonder why they're getting rid of him. I certainly don't know the Phoenix Coyotes farm system intimately, but it's, I mean, considering they've had a fair number of pretty decent picks over the last few years, they probably have at least a guy or two in there, but why would they want to get rid of Keith Yandel here, do you think?
Well, unless they're looking ahead and saying, we're not going to pay him. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another question for you, dude. We saw Mark Giordano from the Calgary Flames get $4 million.
He got a ton of money.
So if Mark Giordano is getting $4 million, isn't Keith Yandel going to get $4 million next year?
$4 million?
Now let's look at their stats, dude.
Okay, let's look
Look up Giordano. I'm pulling up Keith Yandel. Keith Yandel, you know, last year we talked about he had 41 points, 45 penalty minutes. He played in the playoffs. He was effective in the playoffs with 5 points in 7 games. Year before that, 69 games, 30 points, kind of a breakout season for Keith Yandel. So he's got 151 NHL games, or actually, no, he's got about 200 games.
Yeah.
Dude, what is Mark Giordano's resume look like?
Well, last year he had 30 points, 11 goals, 19 assists. That was his best of his career. 81 penalty minutes, which is nice. So certainly he's kind of a tough guy. About the same size, I guess, as Yandel. 6 feet, 200 pounds, roughly. So yeah, I guess you could probably make a pretty good case that they're comparable at this point. So do the Sharks want another number three or number four defenseman making over $2.5 million?
Now,
maybe not.
Let me make this really clear. I would trade Vlasic for Keith Yandel right now.
Seriously?
Yes, I would.
Oh man!
Because
I don't know.
I'm seen enough. And
you are done. He's dead to you.
Well, I don't think he's a good match with Vallin. And if Vallin has kind of taken that role in the top four, you're going to roll with Vallin. He's playing well. He's healthy. Now, what has Vlasic done to demonstrate he's not a puck mover on that second, you know, pairing?
Mm-hmm.
He's got 0 points. Zero.
Yeah.
You know,
played some power play time last couple games.
Yeah, it's been great. So you put Keith Yandel there with Vallin?
Yeah.
I don't know. Tom, I think I'm talking myself into it.
Are you?
I just don't think that they would be looking to trade him within the division. But it'll be interesting to keep our eye on that, see if the Coyotes are going to be more about saving money than actually trying to make the playoffs. You know, they lost out when they lost Mahalik.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think they're looking that far ahead and going, We can't have another situation where one of our good young players leaves and we get nothing.
I'm sure they would be thinking that. They would be stupid if they weren't thinking about that. I mean, they know they probably can't compete in a UFA situation, although Keith Yandel's RFA and offer sheets are a little bit limited these days. But yeah, I mean, they could be put over a tough spot. I mean, what if Doug Wilson came in and offered him Hjalmarsson money? Could happen.
You never know. And then we get Rizgalov.
Okay.
Hey.
Let's have equals.
There we go.
But yeah, you're right. I don't know, dude. I don't like your idea of trading Vlasic for Yandel, though, because then your shutdown D are Vallin, who's 35 and has ankle problems, which is a terrible injury to have in hockey, and Murray, who frankly, let's be honest, has not looked good as of late. He's looked pretty bad. I mean, other than that great hit against Chipchura.
Dude, that hit on Chipchura on Saturday night.
Awesome.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so good.
Oh, wow. He had no idea what was going on. The linesman had to help Chipchura to the bench.
Yeah, it's good.
He's clueless, brother.
He's a truck.
Clueless.
He got cranked, as they say. But yeah, I'm a little bit hesitant now that your shutdown guys are now Vallin and Murray with Huskins. You know, that gives me a funny feeling.
Don't be nervous. we've got everything going for us right now, dude. We're on the trifecta right now. We got Giants won the World Series.
Yeah.
We just got reservations to Peter Luger's Steakhouse for when we go to New York.
Right.
And we're getting Keith Yandel, dude.
Wow. Everything's coming up roses.
Congratulations.
Dude. Nice.
Well, we got a real special show next week, actually.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So, maybe we should
give him the preview.
Let's keep it under wraps.
You don't want to give him the preview?
No, we're going to keep it under wraps.
All right.
Let it be a surprise, but a very unique show next week if everything comes through as expected, and we certainly hope to be talking about 3 wins. If you were going to look ahead and kind of guess in terms of how the Sharks are going to play this week, dude, And speaking of which, we did not do our pick'em. I when I listened to the show last week, I was offended that you said that I don't know how to pick hockey games. I was upset.
Okay.
I was upset.
So what are we doing now?
We're going to pick. We're going to make our picks.
Okay. For which games though?
We're going to have to do it daily.
Okay.
All right.
Like we each pick one game a day that we pick, like given some lines on the internet that we find, something like that. Cause I'm not going to pick every game because there's some games that you just don't want a part of. Right.
Right. So I say we give each, we have an imaginary amount of money.
Okay.
All right. No, because then someone could just play it really close to the vest. That's not going to work. No, we have one pick a day.
Okay. For the next week, seven days?
Yeah, okay.
Seven picks, that means somebody has to win, right?
Yeah, but then you can't pick like, you know, the Red Wings over the Ducks every time.
Yeah.
We're going to have to figure out the rules. We won't do it online.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. All now right. we got to figure out the rules.
Dude,
all right, dude. Let's do some NHL news. We were just thinking of picking up Jordan Staal from the waiver wire in our fantasy league, but now he broke his hand, so he's out of it.
Are you serious?
No joke, dude. No joke. Breaks his hand at practice. So no Jordan Staal. Frankly, is he that great of a fantasy player?
No, he's not. Not convinced. We had that discussion today that he doesn't seem like he's that great of a fantasy player.
Not convinced. So, Vesa Toskola signs in Sweden, dude.
A one-month deal. That's great. You know, his career has gone down so far that the best he can do is a one-month deal. Well, I guess that's better than Semenov could get with the Rangers.
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
Hey, he has a whole contract with the KHL, which is a better league than Sweden. So Semenov's actually doing better than Toskola here. So anyway, dude, do we have any more news for this week, dude?
I don't think so.
I think we're set.
We're all set and ready to rock.
We just toast the Giants. Congratulations to them. Now you can fully concentrate on hockey. I know all the Giants fans who had their loyalties divided here these past few weeks.
I admit I have been distracted. It's been a weird feeling because in October, actually in September and August and July, I've rarely cared about the Giants because it's been over. And that's a long season, you know. That's
right.
A game every day, and you can just kind of say, it's like, oh God, this is not going to work out. But this year has been different, and I'm feeling the love right now, dude. I'm feeling the love. I've been skeptical about the Sharks early in the season, but the love is being thrown all around tonight.
Yes.
And could this be the year the Giants win the World Series and the Sharks win the Stanley Cup?
It could be.
It could happen. The Niners could also win the Super Bowl.
Ha!
Niners won in London, dude.
Yes.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
All right. We'll be back again next week. Go Sharks, man. We're on an upward trend now. I'm with you. I'm feeling the love.
Okay.
I'm feeling good about this.
I'm saying 5 points in these three games coming up here because I'm feeling positive tonight.
Good times, dude. I'll go with that.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you next week.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.